Join the conversation. It's the Richard Eade Show, Monday through Friday, right here on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com. Call 424-4550.
All right, 7 minutes after 10 o'clock here on a gorgeous Monday. Partly cloudy skies now all the way up to 73 degrees. 20% chance of rain later today. High today of around 85 degrees. We stream live worldwide at SantaFe.com. We podcast from SantaFe.com. If you want to go back and listen to the interview we're about to do with Forrest Fenn or for his previous time he was here, any interview, SantaFe.com/Richard E. Forrest Fenn, Santa Fe author, legend, former gallery owner, expert on artists, and a man who went out and buried a treasure chest and making faces at me right now. Very immature for his age. Is in studio with us along with Dale Neitzel. Dale is down from the state of Washington. He runs a website about the treasure hunt. So it's going to be an interesting conversation, I have a feeling, about where the treasure is. We'll talk about that. Maybe they want to reveal some new clues today. And all the people around the world that especially Dale hears from on the website who are looking for this treasure. Mr. Fenn, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning to you, Richard. It's always good to be on 101.5. I listen to you all the time.
You are such a kind man. You brought me a copy of your book, which I can't believe you did that. I want to talk about this book for us, too, because I went down to Collected Works on Saturday because I knew it would be there because you have this great relationship with Dorothy and the people at Collected Works. And it's this giant coffee table, gorgeous book. I did not know you had it in you.
Well, if it was in me, you can get some of your friends to help you with the big words. I think you'll like my book.
It's beautiful, though. It's about Leon Gaspard, The Call of Distant Places, along with Carlene Milburn.
Carlene Milburn from the state of Washington.
Okay. So you have...
Montana. She lives just outside of Cascade. She's a wheat farmer. And her husband.
All right. Now, as soon as I saw this book, I remember the last time you were here, Forrest, we spent quite a while talking about your past, which is this great past about, you know, why you're in Santa Fe, how you started a gallery, and kind of what your specialty was. And then I remembered when I saw this book about you telling me about your special fondness for these Russian artists, right?
That's right.
Right. So I want to talk about this, though. Dale, welcome to the show. Welcome to Santa Fe.
Well, thank you very much, Richard.
Make sure you get right up on the microphone.
All right.
Talk real loud because Forrest is so loud, he'll drown us out.
He is.
Yeah. Tell us about where you're from, first of all.
I live out on Lummi Island, Washington. It's
Puget Sound?
Yep, it's pretty close. It's up in the northern part, just below Canada.
Okay. Fires, forest fires?
No, they're over on the other side of the state, thank goodness
yeah.
for us.
Boy, oh boy. Tough summer up in the Northwest.
We drove through there. It was a big mess.
Yeah, tough summer you guys have had.
Yeah.
All right, what's the website if people want to look it up here while they're listening? What is your website that deals with the treasure hunt?
It's over at DaleNeitzel.com. It's DaleNeitzel.com.
Dale Neitzel.
Yeah.
All right. No E on your name.
No.
What happened? You lost it?
I downsized, you know.
You downsized, yeah. Lopped off a vowel, didn't have the $5 to buy a vowel, or
yeah, I was trying to sound a little bit more like I was from Middle Europe.
Oh yeah, it sounds very continental. What is the website?
Well, the website is called The Thrill of the Chase, basically, and it's all about forest. It's a place where folks come into the site, and it's a good place for newcomers who are just finding out about the chase and want to find out something about. What do these clues mean? What does Forrest possibly mean by begin it where warm waters halt? Mm-hmm. What could that possibly mean?
So if you're a beginner, you can go back, learn about kind of all the past history,
exactly.
The clues, and all of that. And Forrest, I mean, the original book that you wrote with all the clues was The Thrill of the Chase, right?
The Thrill of the Chase, and right. It's about a treasure chest that I hid in the Rocky Mountains somewhere north of Santa Fe.
Somewhere north of Santa Fe, and that's about as finite, about as close as you get.
Well,
I mean, there's lots and lots of clues in Thrill of the Chase.
I said north of Santa Fe because I didn't want people digging up my yard.
Right.
But there's a poem in the book called The Thrill of the Chase, and there are 9 clues in the poem. If you can figure out the clues, they will take you to where the treasure chest is.
Now, last time Forrest was here, he came with his daughter, Mika. By the way, his granddaughter, Mika.
Granddaughter, Mika.
Your daughter is here.
And that's her mother. That's Mika's daughter, Zoe Old.
And she is married to David Old, who we've had on the show from Old Wood, and she is Shiloh's mother. And Shiloh and Mika are brother and sister.
It's like a whole hometown around this place.
I know. It's amazing. how does she put up with David?
Well, I wear hearing aids that have a volume control.
Oh, that's how you put up with it. He's a character.
I know he is.
But, it's a cool company. Old Wood is really a cool company. I like them both. Had them on several times. All right. So 9 clues and the thrill of the chase will lead people eventually, if they're really smart, to the treasure. Now, I got this email a couple weeks ago that I forwarded to you from a gentleman by the name of Andy Briggs out of the United Kingdom, who is very well known as an author, does science fiction and comic books, and creates all these characters. He's well known. He's not, I don't think, your average crackpot that comes over to your house knocking on your door in the middle of the night asking you for, a 10th clue. He's well known, but he sent me this email saying he had come up with the code word that if you overlay it on all of your poems and everything, that he said could lead somebody, but he couldn't come up with that final piece, and so he wanted to open source it, make it available to everybody. You're familiar with this guy, right?
Yes, I am, and his name must be added to those who have presumed to know the clues in the poem.
So he's one of many?
He's one of many, yes.
Right. So I sent you this email.
But he's a pretty bright guy. He's got a lot of it figured out, maybe.
Okay. So he's not completely cuckoo. Did from what you can tell, has he found, is there, well, I'm not going to ask you because you won't tell me, if there's some kind of code word that could unravel this whole thing. You won't tell me.
Well, there are so many people out there that know a little bit about it, but not a lot. But there are a few getting close.
Really? From what you guys can tell. Dale, you guys get 11,000 hits a day.
Right.
That's an average, right?
Right.
Now, during the height of the summer, the spring, summer, fall, the good treasure hunting season, it goes up, right?
Right. We get up as 14,000. 15,000 when Forrest appears on CBS or something like that, that number will go up 21,000 hits a day.
Through the roof. And then once the snow hits the ground.
Yeah, we're back down around 5,000 or 6,000 hits a day. But people are interested all year round, right. Just that this is the busy season to be out looking.
All right. Now, people come to the website in search of more information, or can they post on the website their thoughts about where it might be, share their thoughts, or claim that they found it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We try not to let people claim that they found it because there's never been any evidence that anybody has found it. So when someone, and there are people out there who just for whatever reason want to make themselves big and want to inflate themselves. Right. And so they'll say, I found it. We don't let them on the blog. But we do let people talk about what their solutions are.
Sure. Okay.
We let people talk about what they think might be a possible potential solution for the poem.
Right. But to your knowledge, nobody's found it. Now, Forrest, I don't know if you'll answer this question or not truthfully. Is there some way for you to know remotely if somebody has uncovered the treasure chest?
I've said on 2 or 3 blogs that if someone finds the treasure, I will announce it on the blogs, on Dale's blog and a couple of the blogs that are very prominent.
But could somebody find it and you not know?
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But it's certainly conceivable that could happen, yeah. Right.
Now, last time you were here, I questioned, because of some things I'd read, whether there was actually a real treasure chest or if you were just talking in a metaphorical sense about finding treasure in one's life. But by what Mika had told me about seeing all of these very specific pieces, I believed her over you.
You can forget the metaphors. There is a real treasure chest, and it's full of gold and precious gems, and it's out there waiting for somebody to figure out the clues and go get the treasure chest. It's a physical thing that's out there.
I believe you now. I wasn't so sure when we first met, but I definitely believe you now. Coming up on 17 minutes after 10 o'clock, continue our conversation with Forrest Fenn and Dale Neitzel. Talk about the treasure. We'll also get around to Forrest's new book, which is a gem. If you love art, if you love northern New Mexico, you want to go pick it up. Talk about the book as well. 17 minutes after 10 o'clock here on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, streaming live worldwide, santafe.com.
Keep it right here on Santa Fe's Talk Leader. We'll be right back on the Richard Eats Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, and streaming live at santafe.com. You're listening to the Richard Eads Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, streaming on santafe.com. Call 424-4550.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take?
21 minutes after 10 o'clock here on a partly cloudy Monday, high today, eventually of around 85, 20% chance of rain later today, and a little bit of wind this afternoon, pretty much like yesterday afternoon. In studio with us now is the Santa Fe legend, Forrest Fenn, author, gallery owner, fighter pilot, treasure parer, barrier, poem writer.
No, I never said I buried the treasure. I said I hid it.
You, good point. That's right. It could be in a cave.
That doesn't mean it isn't buried. I just didn't want to give that as a clue.
That's right. So we're talking about, and with him here is also Dale Neitzel. Is it Neitzel or Neitzel?
It's Neitzel.
Neitzel, I'm sorry. I'm going to fix that. You have a very strange spelling to your name anyway.
Thank you.
Dale Neitzel, down from Washington State, who runs the website. If you want to go look for the treasure, it might be the best thing to do might be to go to Dale's website, because it'll get you caught up on where people have looked and maybe eliminated possibly where the treasure might be. It's DaleNeitzel.com. That's the website. It's a blog. People submit what they've deciphered from the nine clues in Forrest's original book called The Thrill of the Chase. Forrest, for the people who aren't familiar with you, maybe new to Santa Fe, didn't hear last time you were here, you came to Santa Fe when?
In 1972.
You were a fighter pilot. You got shot down a couple times.
I was shot down twice in Vietnam.
Couldn't fly worth a dang, apparently.
Well, it's not.
Or they were just good gunners.
It's not enough that you're pretty good. You have to be lucky.
You have to be lucky as well.
That's what's most important.
Right. And why did that precipitate? Why did that bring you to Santa Fe?
Well, I had a hard tour in Vietnam. I was shot down twice, like I said, and I flew 328 combat missions in 325 days, and I lost 22 pounds and didn't even know it. But I knew a little bit about Santa Fe. I knew that I could get out of the world by coming to Santa Fe. I knew I wasn't going to wear a watch or have a calendar. I mean, I was beat up mentally and physically, and Santa Fe is where I wanted to get off and relax a while.
Come rest and recuperate.
Yeah, Santa Fe was a place for me.
How did you get involved in the gallery and the art business in Santa Fe?
Well, while I was still in the Air Force in Lubbock, I was teaching pilot training over there, and I started a little art foundry in my garage. I learned how to. I had never seen molten metal, but I ran a gas out of my living room through my kitchen and pantry into my garage, and I learned how to melt bronze, and I started melting art bronzes, and I found that I couldn't sell these things, but I could trade them for artifacts and Indian things, and that's how I got started.
They had value. Wasn't necessarily dollars and cents, but they had some value.
That's right. You just need to find the right person.
Now, you came to Santa Fe, you opened a gallery, you slept on the floor, you struggled for a long time.
Well, my wife and I plastered the walls while sleeping on a mattress on the floor, and my two young daughters, they were doing the same thing, and they were helping us build what is now Nida Matusi Gallery.
Yeah.
It was Finn Galleries Limited at that time, we opened in 1972, and I had two shows and didn't sell anything, didn't even sell a book. And I decided, boy, I don't know about this. I had no education in art. So I had a little bit of money, and I said, I'm going to spend this money on advertising. If that doesn't work, I'm going to slam the door and go work for McDonald's or Lotaburger or someplace.
Uh-huh, right. The advertising work?
The advertising started to work. Yeah, I got lucky. And finally, I decided after about 6 or 8 months, I was always able to make payroll, and that was the key to me. You know, if you have to borrow to make payroll, you know you're in trouble. But
right.
After 6 or 8 months, things started working for me, I could make payroll out of accounts receivable, and that was very important to me.
Now, people are familiar with Nida Matusi Gallery, right next to Gerald Peters, right on Paseo de Peralta. Big lot. I mean, it's a huge piece of property. Was the building as big as that when it was with Finn Gallery?
It was a home when I acquired it.
From how old?
How old was the home?
Yeah.
Golly, who knows? Goes back to the 1700s.
Wow.
But it's a very special place, and when I used to go out and plant flowers in my garden, I was always digging up pottery and that sort of thing. It's a historic place.
So you started advertising, you started making a little money, you could make payroll. Artists come to you, or did you still go out and search out good artists that you wanted to represent?
Well, I learned pretty fast that I'd rather deal with old art, the old masters, rather than the contemporaries. I figured I didn't have time to build a market for these people. So,
right.
You know,
okay.
I was dealing with the old masters, Charlie Russell, and particularly the Taos artists. I've written three books about the old Taos painters, and that's what I fell in love with. It was very important to me. And I started acquiring archival material, and it's from that archival material that I've been able to write these books.
How long did you have that gallery?
17 years. I started in 1972, and I sold in 1988. I'm not very good with geography. How many years is that?
And after that, how did the old Santa Fe Trading Company come about?
Well, I wanted a website because I wanted to write a blog. I wanted to participate, and I've got a nephew named Creighton Finn, who's a professional deep-sea diver, and he had a blog. And his wife runs that blog, and so I asked her to set up a blog for me, and she did that. If you like deep-sea diving, you need to go to his blog, his website.
Right.
But I'm not a natural writer. I strain. I work harder than anybody else to get where I want to go, but it's been a fun ride, and I like writing. I've written like 140 stories on Dal's blog. Mm-hmm. These stories run from 600-800 words a piece, mm-hmm. and it's been a good ride.
And the point of all this is, you started to make money with a gallery. You became successful, and the part about your nephew, I didn't know about at all until Dale told me during the break his connection. So you're making money, you're successful, you're growing, fairly well off. And at some point you get sick, you almost die, you think you're going to die. Somehow you have this epiphany or this realization that maybe, you know, you should be giving back as well and helping other people back as well. So the fact that your nephew is not only a professional deep-sea diver, but a professional deep-sea treasure hunter as well, right? He goes around the world looking for treasure. So now you can combine the two, right?
That's right, and he stays busy. Right now he's working for the government bringing up lobster nets that are lost by these lobster fishermen. I sold my gallery to Nida in 1988, Nida Matusi. And at the time, she was one of my best clients. I had a rule. I didn't want to do anything for 15 years. There are not very many. You don't have very many 15 years, but there are a lot of good things to do. So after 14 years, I started selling my gallery, and Nidra bought it, and she's doing very well in that gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful, absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful. All right, come back. I want to talk about your brush with death, possibly, and how that kind of led you into wanting to put together this treasure chest and then go hide it. I made the mistake of saying he buried it. He's not saying he buried it. He ain't saying one way or the other. Come back with Forrest Finn and Dale Neitzel right after this. 30 minutes after 10 o'clock, KVSF 101.5, Voice of Santa Fe.
It's your opportunity to be heard. Call 424-4550 for the Richard Eads Show on KVSF 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on santafe.com. Have an opinion? Call 424-4550. This is the Richard Eads Show on the Voice of Santa Fe. KVSF 101.5 and streaming live on santafe.com. Call in and get it out there.
Overcast skies, high today of about 85, 20% chance of rain today. Now they're saying 30% chance of rain tonight and tomorrow. Then clearing up and cooling off later in the week. 35 minutes after 10 o'clock, Forrest Finn is our guest in studio with us, along with Dale Neitzel. Dale runs the website, the blog of Forrest's Treasure Hunt, and it is a really nice website if you want to take up the pursuit, the looking for $2 million in treasure. This website's probably the best place to start. It's DaleNeitzel.com. All right, Forrest, go back just a little bit. You're in Santa Fe now. You're selling some art. You're doing okay. You got your hand in a lot of different pies around town. And you get sick. Tell us about that part of your life and your feeling, you know, that you're going to die, and then after that maybe making some changes.
Well, in 1988 I was diagnosed with what everybody thought was terminal cancer. I lost a kidney, and when a 1-hour operation turned into five, my doctor told me that I had a 20% chance of living 3 years. How's that for an eye-opening prognosis?
80% chance you won't make it.
80% chance that I won't make it.
Yeah.
And so after that soaked in a couple of weeks, I decided that, you know, if I've got to go, I'm just going to take it with me. Who says I can't take it with me? So I found this beautiful little Byzantine cast bronze treasure chest, and I started filling it up with gold coins and gold, hundreds of gold nuggets and precious gems and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and sapphires, and that's how I got. One thing led to another, and when the smoke cleared, I had hidden this treasure chest, and giving everybody the opportunity to go have the same amount of fun that I've had over all these years.
If people are wondering where it is, how much are you willing to say more than it's just in a forest north? I mean, what are kind of sort of the clues if people are just listening? Kind of the general clues of where this treasure chest might be hidden.
Well, it's north. It's in the Rocky Mountains, north of Santa Fe. And interesting, you mentioned that, because this lady from Minnesota called me on the phone, and she said, "Forrest, you have to help me a little bit." And I said, "Okay, I'll give you another clue." I said, "The treasure is more than 300 miles west of Toledo."
Mm-hmm.
And she thought for a minute, "Oh, thank you, Forrest." She thought I was really helping her, but she was satisfied. And so
she was on the trail then.
I get a lot of emails every day and some phone calls.
Yeah. Now, last time you were here, you related the story of people coming to your house, scaring the heck out of you. You do have security around your house now. You do pay attention because you have grandkids. And everybody, I mean, it's a lot of money and a lot of crazies out there. You brought in, you know, our mutual friend Mike McGarity on help you, give you some advice, because he's a writer and he's a former police officer. anybody visit you that wasn't welcome this summer?
Well, everybody that visits me unannounced is not welcome. I had two incidents in the last 30 days. I've called 911 three times. One occasion, this one guy started wrestling with the police officers at my front gate, and they put him in handcuffs and
this
took
summer.
Him off to jail. This, yes. But the treasure is more than 8 miles north of Santa Fe in the Rocky Mountains and south of Canada.
Yeah.
And I've excluded Idaho and Utah.
It's not buried in your yard.
It's not.
Don't.
It's not
don't
hidden
go to
or
forest.
Buried either one in my yard. No.
Yeah, hidden or buried. Yeah, I keep saying it's buried. You're not going to go that far.
No, I'm not going to go.
All right. How many people do you estimate? You or Dale? How many do you guys estimate? How many people, one, are looking at any given time or on a kind of a part time, but seriously looking, and then. Last time you were here, it was in May. You thought that there would be tens, maybe over 10,000 people visit Santa Fe this summer as part of the treasure hunt.
Well, last summer, the occupancy rate in Santa Fe was up 6%.
Right.
And nobody could explain why. I'd like to take credit for part of that, but
absolutely.
I think this last summer there were 50,000 people came to Santa Fe.
50.
Ostensibly to look for the treasure. You know, they love to get out in the mountains, and I get 100 emails a day from a lot of them are saying, you know, we didn't find the treasure, but
right.
we sure had a great time in
yeah.
the mountains. And
yeah.
thank you for getting us off the couch and away
right.
from the texting machines and out
right.
in the mountains.
Right. So 50,000 people you think may have come to Santa Fe. How many people do you think worldwide are kind of in some way tuned into this hunt?
Well, Dale can probably tell you more than that because he knows where
right.
these hits are coming from. But lots of people from the United Kingdom and Germany and France.
And yep. Australia. We see lots of hits from Australia, France. Iceland, we get hits from Iceland. Can you believe that?
Huh.
This is worldwide. Japan, we've had a couple of stories from Japan.
There are two guys in London. They don't know each other, but they fly over here, look for the treasure for 2 days, and then fly back to London. They've done that three or four times, both of them.
Got money and time on their hands, huh?
But they love America and they love the Rocky Mountains, and it's the thrill of the chase.
Sure.
I keep going back to that. If
right.
you don't find a treasure, that doesn't mean you're not going to be entertained and your life enhanced by getting in the search.
But this is an old story. You look at all these mines up in the mountains of the Western United States, people going around prospecting, looking for that elusive, one in a bazillion chance they're gonna get lucky.
I'll give you a clue. The treasure is not in a mine or in a tunnel. Please stay out of those things. They're,
oh, yeah, yeah.
They're dangerous.
Dangerous as hell, yeah. Mm. Dangerous as the rattlesnake.
That's right.
Or worse. All right, so Dale, the website gets hit from all over the world. Do you think it's people just passing the time? Or you think people are curious?
No, I think people really, I think a lot of these people who come to our blog are people who are expecting to go out and look for it. We see an uptick in hits in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
People are planning. They're looking for ideas about what some of these clues mean. They're reading the blog. They're finding out what other people, folks have been looking for in the past.
Right, checked off a place.
Yeah.
Are there people checking off places they've looked and come up dry, so now you don't have to look there?
Right. You can actually read other people's stories, where they've been and why they think they didn't find it there, why the clues seem to lead to that place.
Uh-huh.
But in the end,
right.
it wasn't the right place.
Have you been one of those people?
Oh, I've never looked for the treasure.
This treasure.
Yeah.
But you understand the lure, right? Because you have looked for treasure.
I've been out looking for this treasure. This is my last trip. I just came back from my last trip. I was up in Yellowstone.
Looking now, for forest?
Looking for forest.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I've been out 66 times.
Okay.
Looking for forest treasure. And I have not even come close, I'm pretty sure.
So do you weave your thoughts and everything into this website as well?
Oh, absolutely. I write stories about where I've been and why I've
right.
looked in certain places, what I think the clues are.
I'm surprised you don't hate this guy.
No, I love this guy. Are you kidding me? This is the most fun I've had. You know, this is it's just a lot of fun going out and looking.
What'd you do for a living?
I run a small TV station in Bellingham, Washington.
Still?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know. It's impossible.
Like public?
It's a community station.
Community station.
Yeah,
right,
a little government and education community station.
But you can get away when you want to.
I can, and that's what makes it worth it. That's
absolutely.
What makes this possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys who can sort of walk away from things for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Now, it is cool, and we were looking during the break. It's, as Forrest mentioned, he's written like 145 little stories that he's posted on the website, not about the treasure. This one is about, and I don't want to get you in trouble here, Forrest, but this 1935 Buick?
Plymouth.
I'm sorry. I touch a nerve there. Do you love this car more than you love Peggy?
Well, you are going to get me in trouble now. But the first car I ever bought was in 1946. I was 16 years old, didn't have a driver's license up. I bought it in Atlanta, Georgia. I worked all summer to get $250, and I gave that money for this 1935 Plymouth, and I drove it from Atlanta, Georgia to Temple, Texas, and I drove it at night because I didn't want the cops to see how young I was.
Yeah, because you're a little kid.
My wife and I were courting each other in 1946 in a Plymouth that's an identical twin brother to the one I recently purchased. I looked for a year for that 1935 Plymouth, a picture of it on Dale's blog.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful car, and
It's totally restored, right? It's
totally
cherry.
Restored, new paint job, and 660 horsepower. It's not the deluxe model. That means it doesn't have a windshield wiper on the right-hand side or a sun visor. It's six-cylinder, and it top speed 55 miles an hour. I'm getting ready to replace the tires because they're 48 years old. They still have a lot of tread, but the rubber's getting hard, and I'm afraid they're just going to collapse one of these days.
Are those kind of tires hard to find?
We're having them custom built on the same farms that they were made in 1935.
By whom?
By Plymouth.
Plymouth was making their own tires back in those days?
They sold the farms to another company.
Right,
that
right,
company is
right.
Making new tires for us.
So to get rubber on a car like this, you have to have them custom made.
You have to have them custom made. Yeah.
All right. You didn't answer my question. You love this car more than you love Peggy.
No, I don't.
Okay.
My
right
wife
answer.
And I have been married for 62 years, and we go back 8 years before the 62 years, so
right.
We're talking about 70 years.
Last month you turned 85.
85. I tell people I'm 40 with 45 years of experience.
Right. Well, happy birthday, young man.
Thank you.
You asked Dale and I to sing you happy birthday, but... We're going to pass on that.
I'll give you $5 if you won't.
All right. $5.
Be back with Forrest Fenn and Dale. Dale runs the website. It's about 13 minutes before 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11, you'll have the branding guys. Haydick and Glover will be here. Glover may be down in his cups a little bit. His Oregon Ducks lost. The Michigan State was a great game on Saturday, but he's probably happy at the performance yesterday of the rookie Marcus Mariota. Kid came out slinging. He was awesome. 47 minutes after 10, we'll be right back.
This is the voice of Santa Fe. You're listening to The Richard Eade Show. The Richard Eade Show live and taking your calls at 424-4550 on the Voice of Santa Fe.
Georgia, the whole day through.
It's 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Guest in studio is Forrest Fenn. Forrest, I played this for you. You said you and Peggy met in Georgia?
No, we met in Temple, Texas. We went to high school together.
What were you doing in Georgia?
Well, I had my namesake, an uncle up there that said if I'll come spend a summer with him, he'll get me a job and I can make $250 and buy a car. And that's what put me on a train to Atlanta.
All right. Will you, you can change your mind. There's no rules here. Like you said, there's no rule. You can't take it with you. But Do you think you'll come up with any more clues if it just goes on too long, or you get bored with the progress, or?
Well, I hope not. You know, when
there's enough information there to lead somebody to it.
That's right. But okay. You know, when I decided to do this, my goal was long range, really. I wanted. I had so much fun over 17 years collecting antiques and things. And when I thought I was going to die, I said, why not just let somebody else do this? Finding a treasure chest is not something somebody's going to do on spring break or on a Sunday afternoon picnic.
It's going to take some long, concerted research and effort.
Well, you just have to think the right things. The clues are in the poem, and if you can figure the clues out, they will take you to the treasure chest. You need a little imagination, maybe.
For example, all right, Andy Briggs, the guy from United Kingdom, the author who said he's found a code word. If you overlay the code word, it solves the entire riddle, with the exception of one small thing he couldn't quite get.
Well, I tell you, I could not find a treasure after reading his email about his solve.
Right.
I just couldn't do it. But the treasure is there waiting for the right person, and Dal said he's been hunting for it for 60 years.
66 times. Yeah, 66 trips, is that right?
66 trips.
He never tells me where he's going, but he brags about where he's been.
Why should he tell you?
Yeah, why should he
knows
tell
where it's at.
I have to be real careful when I'm around.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Now, we made it clear last time you were here, Peggy doesn't know, Mika doesn't know, you don't want anybody in your family to know. So people leave them alone, right?
But I tell you what, I made a mistake on I think it was on Dal's blog. I told somebody that the clue part a dam was not part of the clues.
Okay.
Where warm water's halt is one of the clues, and a lot of people figured that's where the water is letting out of a dam.
What about a beaver dam?
That's a dam.
Okay.
That's no clue.
There's no dam.
But I told this one person that it was not related to a dam, and so I felt like that's the only person that knows, so I had to announce that as one of the clues. I didn't want to give that as a clue, but
you did it here on Dale's blog?
On Dale's blog, okay. So that everybody would play on the same field.
Exactly. So you needed to be fair. Yeah.
I didn't want to give that as a clue, but I had to.
Okay, but you feel there's plenty in there to lead somebody, if they think the right way, to the treasure, which I gotta believe the treasure, the value of the treasure is going up every year, right? The price of gold.
Well, the price of gold is coming down.
It's
right
coming now. Down now, but I mean, and how long ago did you hide this?
Well, I think we're going on 6 years, aren't we, Dal? Yeah.
So what was gold 6 years ago? $800-$900 an ounce, or was it over $1,000?
Yeah, it was. I think it was like $1,200-$1,300 an ounce. But you know, if you read the prognosis on gold, they're saying it's going to go to $5,000 an ounce. When that happens, this treasure chest is going to be worth a lot of money.
But it's not just gold that's in there, right? I mean, we've seen gems, some of the things that are in there.
Well, there's two beautiful little ancient Chinese jade carvings.
Right.
There are some pre-Columbian gold figures, wakas and cast gold frogs that date. And there's a beautiful Tairona and Sinew necklace that dates, that's 2,000 years old, with wonderful fetishes made with quartz crystal and cast gold jaguar claws. And, I mean, it's the person that finds that treasure chest and puts it on his lap and opens that lid is either going to faint or start laughing, one of the two.
Forrest has said there's 42 pounds. I mean, this chest weighs 42 pounds.
But it's small enough to put on your lap.
Well, there are 20.2 troy pounds of gold in that treasure chest.
Right.
And a lot of the 265 gold coins, and a lot of them have numismatic value way beyond the spot of gold.
So, Dale, how many times have you got Forrest drunk hoping you would get the location out of him?
I've tried. We've tried phenobarbital. We've tried everything, you know, but we just can't get him to tell us anything.
What's his biggest weakness? Is it chocolate? What is it?
I don't know. We haven't worked on that end yet. We have to, that's a good idea.
That's the other mystery. How do you pry this out of them? You ain't telling, are you?
There are people on the blogs that think that Dal has an inside track on where. I tell you what, I think because Dal and I are friends, it handicaps him.
Probably, yeah.
Because I'm very careful around Dal.
Yeah, and you probably let slip little non-clues, little things that are confuse him.
Well, I may give him.
I'm always confused, so it's not hard for him to confuse me more.
Well, Dal has no advantage over anyone.
All right, this beautiful book. Tell me about this beautiful book.
Well, that beautiful book is 8 or 9 years in the making. It's 412 pages. It has 168 color plates.
It's about 25 pounds.
It weighs 6.25 pounds.
Yeah,
but we broke the mold on that book. There are three places in there where you can swash your phone on an avatar and you can see.
Oh, you told me you were going to do
you
that.
You can see a video of Leon Gaspard riding his horse around Taos. How many books have you? Can you do that on? And there's another.
Where can people get it?
You can get it on Dal's blog. You can get it on Old Santa Fe Trading Co.com.
Right.
And you can buy it at Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe.
The only place, the only bookstore?
That's the only bookstore in Santa Fe that has my book.
Right. You're very loyal to them, aren't you?
I am, yes. Dorothy and her daughter,
Mary. See, I knew I'd find it there Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the only place I had to go. Right. And it's for sale, and it's called Leon Gaspard, The Call of Distant Places.
The Call of Distant Places, yeah. When he was married to before the First World War, and as a wedding present, his uncle gave him three horses, two riding horses and a pack horse, and Gaspard put his new bride on a horse, and they rode for 2 years across Russia and Mongolia, sleeping on the ground. I mean, that's what this book, it's history and it's art.
Right.
And it's a wonderful biography of
Leon
Gaspard.
Did that speak to you more than his paintings did, just picturing that?
Paintings that I was selling in 1976 for $7,500 are more than a million now.
Yeah.
If you have some money in a tin can someplace, buy yourself a nice Gaspard painting.
Right. It's a beautiful book.
Thank you.
And, you know, I invite people to either to stop by Collected Works and take a look at it. It's sitting there on the counter. I think I said, for us, we only got about a minute left here. This will be the last artist biography you'll do.
That's my 10th book, and that's my swan song.
And this is it, huh? Thank you for coming by. Dale, thank you for coming
thank
by.
Thank you for having me.
How much longer are you going to be in Santa Fe?
A couple days here.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place. Forrest, all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for coming by. All right, if you want to go back, if you think there might be clues, and there might be. I'm not saying there aren't. Might be some clues in this interview. You can go back. It's going to be up a couple hours from now, santafe.com/RichardEats. Might lead you to that treasure chest that fits, can sit on your lap. I don't know. I am convinced, finally, that there is a treasure chest, which is more than I was originally. All right, coming up at 11 o'clock, it is the Branding Guys. Haydock and Glover will be here. After that, we will have in Kim Shanahan with his radio show. Have a great Monday, everybody. See you bright and early tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. We do this Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. Leave you with a little Ray Charles here. Georgia on my mind.
Moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. Other eyes smile tenderly. Still in the peaceful dreams I see. The road leads back to...
The Voice of Santa Fe is KVSF FM 101.5 Pecos Santa Fe. Streaming on santafe.com.